Well, I feel like the Lord's been inspiring us some with some thoughts about having the mind of Christ. And I'd like to share those this morning and ask the Lord to feed our souls. That's what we're here for. I was thinking about the verse in Psalms 104:1. There's several scriptures in the Bible that to me are favorites, and this is one of them. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." You know, this morning, it's good for us to know with whom we have to do, isn't it? It's good for us to know that the Lord is very great. He's not a man that we should reason with him on the same level as a man. And he's not a man that he makes mistakes or that he doesn't know what's going on sometimes. The Lord, it says, the scripture says here, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." I just want us to think a little about that this morning, about the honor and majesty of the Lord and who we're dealing with. And his mind is, I would say, to say it's considerably above ours would be a vast understatement. The Lord made our mind. He understands everything about it. And so I want to think this morning, I want to look at some scriptures. 1 Kings 19 and 11. It says here, "And he said, go forth." Now this was Elijah after the Lord had worked so greatly for him and brought fire down out of heaven and consumed the sacrifices, though they were covered with water. We see that Elijah, when Jezebel said she was going to kill him, he ran as if he never heard of the Lord. And I don't quite understand that fully. He had just commanded, and by his word, it had not rained or had dew in Israel for 3 years, or more than 3 years, I believe. And we find that when this happened, he ran for his life. In verse 11, he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." The Lord began to talk to Elijah there. "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" You know, this morning you would think that the great earthquake and the rocks and all of those things, that would be something the Lord would do if he wanted to, isn't it? But you know, God didn't always choose that way, did he? And so Elijah came and stood at the entering in of the cave, and the Lord began to talk to him with a still small voice. Can you imagine this morning the God of heaven that made everything? He really doesn't have any more he needs to prove. He really doesn't need to break the rocks in front of us. He doesn't need to make the earth quake for us to believe. He's already given us all those things, hasn't he? He's already proved himself. But I'll tell you, the Lord wants to speak to you and me in a way that we understand exactly what he's saying this morning. And he wants to give us his mind and his thoughts. And we can behold great things. We can behold great movements and things people do and great campaigns and all of those things. But I'll tell you what you and I need. We need to hear from the Lord this morning. I just want to talk to us a little bit about some things I feel like the Lord has impressed on our hearts that He wants to give us His mind, and He wants to give us the mind of Christ, because all we have without that is whatever we have in our own mind and whatever other people's minds dream up and whatever the devil dreams up. That's all we have if we don't have the mind of Christ this morning. In Isaiah 55 and 8, we see here very familiar scripture to probably all of us here. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Do you know that our thoughts and our ways, what else do we have? We just have our thoughts, don't we? Without the mind of Christ, what else do we have? He says, "Your thoughts and your ways are not my thoughts, and they're not my ways, saith the Lord." And he goes on to say, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's quite a bit higher, isn't it? As the heavens are higher above the earth, the Lord says, my thoughts are that much higher than your thoughts. So what's that give us for our thoughts? Not much, does it? It makes us to know that we have to bring our thoughts, we have to bring our ways to the Lord and learn His ways. He said, come and learn of me, didn't He? Excuse me. You know, for this reason, I was just thinking about these things. We have to pray for the mind of the Lord, don't we? We have to read His Word and ask Him, Lord, I would like You to help me understand Your thoughts. If my thoughts are not Your thoughts, and my ways are not Your ways, and Your thoughts and Your ways are that much higher than mine, then, Lord, please help me to understand those things. I believe the thoughts of God will get us to heaven this morning. They'll take us safely through a world that is totally mixed up. In our world all around us, we find religious confusion. We find carnality and wickedness and all kinds of thoughts on every hand. And much of it in the name, sometimes bearing the name of a Christian, doing some of those things. So this morning, we need the Lord to give us His mind, don't we? We need Him to open our mind to His thoughts this morning, and to be able to understand thoughts that are so high above our thoughts that there's no comparison at all. The things that we, in our own human understandings, would ascertain and decide, do you know they might be just so far from God's thoughts this morning? It's on every level of life, too. It's in our jobs. It's in our homes, the way we deal with our families, the way we deal with so many things, the way we deal with our finances. You know, the Lord's thoughts might be totally different than ours. Now, you know, He didn't take people's finances away from everybody, but He told one fellow that came to Him, He said, I want you to go sell everything you've got and give it all to the poor and come and follow me. That was the Lord's thoughts concerning that man. That man would have been used of the Lord. That man would have found riches that he never knew anything about. That man would have found heaven as his last final home had he heard the mind that Christ was trying to give him. But you know, I don't know where that man landed up. I hope that someday he turned back. It's kind of doubtful, seeing what people are like. He loved his things, didn't he, and his wealth. Well, this morning, the Lord wants to speak His mind into our lives. It is for our good. It is for our benefit. He has so much in store, so much in mind for our lives, and we miss so much if we use our own mind and we don't find the mind of Christ and the mind and the will of the Lord in our lives. And it doesn't come of our own ascertaining. It doesn't come of our own study. It comes by the power of God. It comes by the love of the Lord. It comes by the challenge of God in our life. It comes by His call upon us as we humble ourselves to the Lord this morning. And we can all have that if we only will this morning. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. You know, the writings of the Lord are so different than human organization and personality could make it. Listen to what he says here in 1 Corinthians 1 and 26. Paul writes here, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Now that was put in there, that translators put "called" in there. It wasn't in the original. But the Lord's not looking for the mighty and the wise in this world and the most intelligent. You know what? God made all that. That doesn't mean a lot to Him. But I'll tell you, He's looking for some things, and we can all have that. Whether we're wise or not, whether we're poor or not, whether we're rich or not, we can have the things God is looking for. It says, "But God hath chosen." Now, why has God done this? Why would He speak to Elijah in a small, still voice when He's the God of heaven? Wouldn't He thunder? Wouldn't He have some great display? No. God's ways are not like our ways, folks. Because He's the King doesn't make Him act like the kings of this earth. He has a totally different take, totally different way. "God hath chosen," it says, "the foolish things of this world to confound the wise." That doesn't go well in the world, does it? "And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." You know, this morning, the Lord has His mind about this. It's not by accident He's that way. He made us. We are the work of His hands. And He wants our lives to bring credit to God. He wants our lives to bring glory, as everything else of His creation has done. And He knows that if He chooses the mighty and the rich and the powerful and those that are the most intelligent, and they are the ones that God uses, do you know that they would get the credit? But when God uses weak things, when He uses people, and that's one thing sometimes I wonder. When I get to heaven, if I can ask God some questions, one thing I'm going to ask Him is, "Lord, why did You use people to reach people?" We have our faults. We have our needs. And yet You use us to reach others that see us sometimes with our needs and our faults. Why didn't You use angels? In His wisdom, He used people. In His wisdom, He makes His appeal to us through the gospel, through human vessels many times, and by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you know the Lord? He has chosen things that are not, things that don't have much in their own, to bring to naught things that are. Do you know the Lord has chosen you? Do you know He's chosen you? He's chosen you and me to do His work. Do you know He's chosen you to glorify God? He could have brought down angels to do all of that, but He didn't. He chose you and me. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us. Get the mindset of the Lord. Learn what his mindset is. Study to show yourself approved unto God. It's going to be different than what's approved unto people. Unto people, it's your degree. It's your amount of learning. It's your status in life. It's where you're at on the financial ladder. All of those things. Well, you know what? Those things aren't all wrong to have. But folks, that's not where God dwells. That's not what he puts his approval on. He may find the most humble, simplest person to bring the gospel to you and me. And folks, if we don't take it from that, we may not get it. Because that's what God has chosen to work through this morning. May the Lord help us this morning. Lord, would you open your mind up to us? There's so many things that God would like to teach us, and we're so far down on the ladder of understanding. The highest we can get don't even scratch the surface of God. But he's given us enough to get to heaven, hasn't he? He's given us enough to glorify God in this life, with our life. The Lord has given us that, hasn't he? This morning, God chooses humility over the mighty. That's what he's looking for. Can we give him that? He said, "How hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven." Why did he say that? Because he chose the humble. And it's hard to humble yourself when you're high and mighty. Folks, we have to humble ourselves before God. We have to give up our station. We have to give up our thoughts. We have to give up our ways and take the Lord's ways. And take his thoughts and take his station. That station is humble. He got down and washed his disciples' feet. And he said that we're going to have to do the same thing, didn't he? He said we're going to have to make that a pattern of life even in our life. Though he was king of all and Lord of all, yet he didn't come as a Lord here, did he? He came and showed us the way, and he suffered for us. He loved us to the end, it says. You know, I was thinking about... I was thinking about the scripture in Luke 22, where Jesus said the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Do you know that's what people expect from somebody above them? Jesus was above us, wasn't he? He said, "But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger." Can it be he really meant that? To be as the younger? "And he that is chief as he that doth serve." Folks, that's how humble the Lord wants us to all be to one another and to life and to in life. I was thinking about how that Jesus on the cross, he said, "Do you not think that I could call 12 legions of angels?" Or maybe it was he there yet? Anyway, in that scene, in that setting, he said, "Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels?" And yet God, in his great mind, he chose for Jesus to go to the cross. Do you know that for you and me, Jesus chooses the cross? In our mind, we would not... I will tell you, if we didn't know the gospel, we would think differently than we do about this, probably. The 12 disciples, could not comprehend the cross until after it happened. Peter, he said, "No, Lord, it isn't going to be so." He drew his sword. He cut off a man's ear. And he wasn't, I'm sure, just trying to cut his ear off. Peter was ready to fight for it. The Lord said, "Put up your sword, Peter." He put the man's ear back on. "This isn't the way we do it, Peter. I've got a different mind. I've got a whole different mindset. I'm going to be crucified for the sins of the world." Do you know that was the mind of Christ? And so this morning, the Lord always chooses the cross over the flesh. You know, this morning, the flesh wants to live. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross himself. He went up there, he sweat Before it happened in Gethsemane, he sweat as it were great drops of blood, the Bible says. But do you know that he went to the cross and he chose that over what he could have had? Jesus could have come down. He could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have had a throne of gold and ivory and all of those things, but he chose the cross. And folks, the cross don't make sense to the flesh. But I will tell you what, when you choose the cross in your life, you will find the power of God beginning to work in ways you never knew it before. How could the world be saved by the cross? That's where it happened. The world was saved through the death and the resurrection of Christ, wasn't it? It was saved through that. The Lord chooses the weak things. He chooses when we cross our flesh. He chooses when we choose the humble way of the Lord over our own thoughts and our own ways. And the Lord chooses that this morning. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 now, just a little over there in one chapter, listen to what the scripture here says. We'll start at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. You know, there's two different spirits there. The spirit of the world don't think like the spirit of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. I want to read that again. But the natural man, that's this man. That's our fleshly man. It says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Folks, before we throw out the things of God, we ought to consider him first. We ought to first go to him and pray to him. Because in our mind, we can't necessarily discern the ways of God. In fact, the word of the Lord says we can't and we won't. The spirit, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you know we have to start to know the Lord? We have to be able to discern spiritually, to be able to know what he thinks about things. For us to just make our judgments, well, that's foolishness. Folks, listen. We need to come to the Lord and begin to ask him, Lord, what do you think about things? What do you think about this? And ask him his thoughts. But he that is spirit, because they are spiritually discerned, that means they're discerned by the Spirit of God that thinks so totally different than we think many times. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that a blessing? The Lord promised to give us the mind of Christ, folks. The Lord promised to teach us his ways. That's why David, I love his Psalms. In it over and over, teach me your way, O Lord. Show me your paths. David somehow got the picture that he needed the mind of the Lord. He needed him to teach him his ways and his thoughts. This morning, does our heart cry after the thoughts of the Lord? Do we search after the thoughts and the things of God, asking him for his mind and for his thoughts? We have the mind of Christ. We can have it. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 now, Look what Paul, he's laying a foundation. See, the Corinthians, they had so many things. You read the letter to Corinth, it's quite a letter. So many things in there, things that you wouldn't think would be, were there. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. We heard a little in Sunday school this morning about the babes in Christ, about being a baby in the Lord. It's something like the natural, isn't it? A baby is one that is a beginner. It's new. And we don't expect of babies the same thing that we expect of adults, do we? We expect someday for every adult that has all their faculties, we expect someday for every normal adult to hold down responsibilities, don't we? Men, hold your job. Hold it well. And we do it well, don't we? Our men do that well. They rise to the occasion and they rise to the top in all the jobs they have. We know that because they're men of responsibility. You know, that's because you've grown. That's because you started, same place all the rest of us did, totally dependent. Totally dependent. But you drank the milk and you began to eat and you began to exercise and you began to learn. And we learned, didn't we? You know the Lord wants that in our spiritual life. He doesn't want us forever, folks, to be at the baby stage. And Paul was speaking to the Corinthians. He said here, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Jesus told his disciples one time, he said, I have many things I want to say to you, but I can't yet. Why? Because they couldn't receive them, he said. That was why. Because they had not progressed far enough in their spiritual life to receive them. Folks, when we're babies in the Lord, it's time for us to drink the milk of the Word. It's so good to just hear the Word of the Lord, the challenges of the Lord, to read the Scriptures, to read the Psalms, to read the encouragements. You know, just keep on drinking. That's wonderful. Don't we love to see that process happen? Don't we love to see babes in Christ? Don't we love to see that? We do, don't we? We love to see them then start growing up, too. We don't want to see that forever, but it's good when it starts. But the Lord wants us to get to a place where we're adults in the Lord. Folks, He wants you and me to be able to discern what is good and what is not good. He wants us to know the mind of Christ, and He wants us to come to a place where we have in our hearts an understanding of what the Lord loves and what He doesn't love, of what it takes to please Him, of what the Word of God, the balance of it, of what it really means in our lives, of what the world is and what the Lord is, the difference, and why. The Lord wants us to grow up in Him. Into all things, the Scripture says. Paul goes on to say, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Why were they doing this? It made sense to them, didn't it? To one, I'm of Paul. You know, maybe so-and-so baptized me. Maybe so. I like their way of preaching. I like the. It was carnal, wasn't it? It was a thing of the fleshly mind. See, that's what carnal is. It's the animal nature. I'm not speaking of a horrid animal nature. I'm just saying it's the nature that we have just as humans. It's the human nature. And I know that there's a carnal nature, a spiritual thing there that God wants to purge. But you know what? This morning, the Lord wants to take us from this, folks. And He wants to teach us His ways and His thoughts. Lord, would you open our hearts in life and teach us your thoughts and your ways. Teach us the ways that we learn of you. Godly ways. Ways that tend to your work and to your peace and to the liveliness that is in God. The Lord wants to do that for us this morning. It don't come just by study, although we study. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. But I will tell you, it comes by humbling ourselves, by seeking the mind of the Lord. Lord, would you open my mind and teach me your thoughts and the way you look at these things? Teach me what you mean here. When you give us all these words, teach me. Because maybe they're Greek when we first start. We don't even understand. I've had people tell me, it's all Greek to me. Do you know, the Lord wants to start right there as a baby where we don't understand hardly anything. And he wants to teach us his ways. And I believe the Lord loves to do that this morning. In Hebrews 5 and 12, it says here, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you know, folks, we don't start here. We don't start at the end. This is what the Lord wants us to come to. He wants us to be able to learn to teach others what we have learned. To teach others the good things of God. To teach others spiritual lessons. To teach others spiritual ways of handling things. Do you know, we don't have a clue on our own. Peter, he messed up so many times. The Lord told him one time, he said, "Get behind me, Peter. Get behind me, Satan," was what he said. Because Peter was so moved by his own thoughts. Do you know, the Lord didn't want Peter to stay there forever. And he doesn't want us. And he said, everyone that useth milk is unskillful. Unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So when we start, folks, the Lord just wants us to just draw up close to him and love him. And just drink the milk and enjoy it. And enjoy growing in the Lord. And we don't have to figure everything out when we're born. The Lord wants to take us to that place where he teaches us all through our life more and more of the things of God. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to learn to discern between, what's it say here? To discern both good and evil. Do you know, I know a lot of religious professors that don't know how to discern between good and evil. They don't know when it's the Lord at work and when it's the devil. And they label one good and it's bad, and they label the other bad and it's good. Today we hear it all the time. Even from churches sometimes, we hear that this alternative way of marriage and lifestyle is good. And to teach what the Bible teaches is bad. And can we comprehend that? Folks, you know what that is? It's just people using their own minds. It's just Satan working in people's lives to destroy those good foundations that make for godly and happy families and godly principles upon which society that is strong is built. Do you know that's what God wants? And he has all this in mind. And so he's trying to teach us his ways. Our senses are trained. I've thought about this in the last couple of months. Do you know our senses? We have five senses, don't we? We touch, we smell, We see, we taste, we hear. All of those things, don't we? And we discern by those things, things that are harmful and things that are good. Do you know the Lord puts that in our spiritual life as well? And He wants us to develop as we go by searching for the Lord, by humbling ourselves to Him, by studying His Word, by learning, by tasting, by sometimes experimenting a little bit. And I don't mean in a bad way, but folks, sometimes we just have to understand, Lord, is this good or not? I really don't know. You know, sometimes we touch the iron and we say, that's bad. We don't touch that anymore, do we? You know what? The Lord wants us to learn. And so He wants to teach us. It comes by diligent use of our senses and not just throwing our senses to the wind and using our animal appetites and using our mind only. The Lord wants to give us those things. Our senses are trained. Our senses are trained by the Spirit of the Lord and His Word. They're trained by those things. Our natural senses are trained, aren't they? We taste something. Hey, I don't like that. Ooh, that tastes bad. We taste a piece of meat. There's something wrong here. You know what? For me, if it don't taste right, I don't eat it for the most part. I don't know what's in it. Might be just a seasoning, but I don't want it. I want to make sure what I eat is good for me. Do you know what? That is your senses. You exercise them over a period of life to find out what is good and what is not good in life. We learn that as we grow and as we go through life. Learn to have spiritual senses this morning. Our senses, they have to be given by the Lord. I believe that there is a work done when the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. Folks, that is not done any other way. Peter's life changed so dramatically. Now, I believe Peter was already, to all his knowledge, living free from sin. But do you know that there is a work that Peter was, that he turned right around, and instead of being afraid of all those people, he preached and 3,000 of them got saved. He preached with power and anointing. Folks, this is something we need to seek for, because in our own mind and our own thoughts, we will be led astray. I promise we will. But by the Spirit of the Lord and by the Word of the Lord, I believe there's safety in that this morning. And the Lord wants to give us growth. Do you know that if something breeds worldliness, what is worldliness? It's things the world loves. It's the things that the world loves that the Lord don't love. That's what worldliness is. That's what I consider it to be. If it breeds sensuality, if something breeds hatred or strife or wickedness of any kind, then folks, our senses need to kick in and discern that. And the Lord wants to give us that. How many times have we seen people plunge full steam ahead, sit down and watch things and have things in their home that destroys that pure heart and pure mind and not be sensitive to it? Folks, listen, God wants us to have senses that are sensitive to holy things, that cast out the evil things, that don't allow the work of the world to have its influence in our life in a wrong way. We are in the world, but the Scripture says we are not of the world. We are to be here as a light, folks. We are to be here as one that illuminates the path so others can see what a godly marriage is like. Do we have struggles in our marriages? Yes, we do. Everybody that's married probably has a few struggles. But folks, there's a way to overcome them and to have a marriage of joy. And there is a place, there is a way to overcome those things, to work through them, to learn to humble ourselves to each other. But the world, sometimes it gets in the Word, and in the worldly mind it says, I'm the boss. And you know, then that gets, it just destroys the home, doesn't it? And then somebody else gets a hold of something else, and they're, I'm free from all things. You know, all those things, the worldly mind picks those things up. But the Lord is looking for a few of us to hold a light before the world, to see what godliness really is in life, not to elevate ourselves, but to bring to the world something that the world so badly needs. And I believe it's attractive when it's God's way. I believe it's wonderfully attractive to have the ways of the Lord in our life and to have His principles and to build our lives upon His principles. I want to just bring out a few more scriptures. In 1 Peter 2 and 2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted, that the Lord is gracious." I hope you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, because He is gracious. He is wonderfully gracious this morning. You know, it don't stop there, as we've said so many times this morning. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, listen to what it says here, starting at verse 11. "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man," meaning unto a full adult mature person, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine." Do you know that children don't know the craftiness of people, of men's dark hearts? They don't know that. They don't know those things. And so they'll follow whatever's given to them many times. But do you know the Lord wants us to come to the full measure of the full man so that He can put weight on you and me? He wants to be able to put us in a job situation where things are not good, and He wants us to shine in that place. He wants to be able to put us in all the places of life that we come to, and He wants us to be able to shine there. That's the mind of Christ. The Lord told us that this morning. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So this morning, we just want to give us those words. Be there to hear the words that the Lord sends. Do you know He's given us pastors and teachers, and it says evangelists and prophets and apostles? The Lord has given those things. Be there to hear, because it's part of His growing up. He said He gave that so that the body would grow. He gave it so that the word would come to us. Be there to hear it. Be there regularly to hear it. And let the word of the Lord dwell richly in us. Chew on it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Pray about it. Seek the Lord in our lives. And I'll tell you what the Lord will do for you. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that when it comes time to bear fruit, you'll be able to bear fruit there. That's what the Lord wants to do for every one of us this morning. You know, our growth can become stunted sometimes. The scripture says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Just want to encourage us this morning to grow in grace. All when we start, folks, the Lord can begin to work in our lives. And I remember what a change in my life. But folks, we've got to grow. We've got to love the Lord and seek Him Take time to pray. Take time to be holy. Take time to love the Lord. Put aside the evil things. Seek the mind of the Lord. Learn to discern. Hear the word of the Lord and chew on it, and let it be life to us this morning. Oh, how the Lord wants to give us his mind. I pray, God, this morning that the Lord would give every one of us not the mind of the world, not the mind that loves the world, not the mind that thinks like the world, not the mind that has the desires of the world, but the mind that follows Christ with no reserves. Lord, would you have your perfect way in my life? That's all I ask in life. Do you know that he said he'll take care of everything else? And he does a good job of it. We thank the Lord this morning. You pray for us.